You know, Christmas is such a fun time, a great time of year to gather together. It's when we get together and enjoy family time and spend copious amounts of money, right? I mean, that's what happens, right? I don't know if you read the statistics or not, but what I saw is that last year, the retail sales for the first time crossed over the threshold of the $1 trillion mark. Yes, that's 12 zeros. That's a lot of money. According to the statistics, the average family in America spends $1,239 at Christmas time. And there are many other interesting facts. I'll just share a few of them with you. I found some of them rather amusing, some just plain interesting. 14% of Americans sell some of their possessions in order to fund their Christmas spending. On the other hand, 22% of Americans believe their Christmas spending will leave them in debt. Nearly 29% of United States shoppers start their Christmas shopping in November. However, 62% buy their gifts in the week before Christmas. Now, I'm not like that, are you? I was talking to my daughter up in Wisconsin yesterday morning, and she has four kids. I said, "Are you done with your Christmas shopping?" She said, "I haven't started yet." It's like, no. And then this afternoon, about 4:30, as we were eating supper before coming here, my son called. He lives in Minneapolis. And we're talking. He says, "Well, I'm at the next store. I'm doing some shopping. I'll talk to you later." I was like, "I don't understand you. I'm not like that." But apparently, that's what some people do. 19% of Americans spend their money during the holiday season on completely unplanned purchases. And I imagine that's what happens when you go in there at the last minute, right? Exactly. And then, of course, that leads to this next wonderful statistic. 46% of people have lied about liking a Christmas gift. Now, who do you think, on average, lies more, is more likely to lie, men or women? Is it women more likely to lie? Yes, they are. I think it's because they're kinder and gentler, perhaps. 54% say they would be inclined to lie and pretend they like something, whereas only 34% of men would do so. Very interesting. And that brings me then to what I wanted to talk to you about tonight. And that is the subject of re-gifting. You know what that is, right? If you don't know what re-gifting is, you can look it up in the dictionary. Re-gifting is when you take a gift that you've received, either something you didn't want or perhaps a double or something that you already have. And so then you package it, wrap it, and give it to someone else. You know, the ethics of regifting is kind of mixed, and it's kind of hot discussion. Some people think it's a rather tawdry practice. You shouldn't do that. While many others think there's nothing wrong with it, and they do it all the time. In fact, they say 2 out of 3 people either have regifted something or they're considering doing so. But often it works, sometimes it doesn't. Now, imagine tomorrow morning, if that's when you do your gift unwrapping, that you're unwrapping one of your presents and you realize it is the same gift you gave to your mother-in-law last year. Doesn't always work out real well. Sometimes it does. Ann Keegan wrote a series of short stories and articles, really, called Blue Christmas. And what they were was short vignettes about Christmas involving police officers and the police force in the Chicago area. And one of those stories was about a man named George White. George White lived in a YMCA, rented a room there, extremely poor. He had only one set of clothes, and his only pair of shoes had rubber bands holding the soles in place so they wouldn't fall off and flop around. The only coat he had was a threadbare black overcoat. Each morning, he would take a nap in a metal chair in the back of the 18th precinct. Several of the officers there took an interest in this old man, and they decided to reach out to him. They learned that he would go every day to a little diner, and Jimmy the Greek there would give him a free hot breakfast every single day. And yet these officers, out of the kindness of their heart, they would often slip him a few dollars just to help him out. They thought during the Christmas season they would go one step further. So these two officers and their families decided to invite him over to their home and to share the Christmas dinner together. After the dinner, they presented him some gifts. And he carefully unwrapped each one and looked at them and enjoyed that time together. They got in the car and began to drive back toward the Y. And he asked them the question. He said, are these presents all really mine to keep? And they said, absolutely. They assured him, they're yours. We gave them to you. We want you to have them. Well, then we need to stop by the diner on the way back to the Y, he said. And as they pulled up and went into the diner, sure enough, Jimmy was there, as always, and greeted them. And Charlie said to him, you have been so good to me, and now it's my turn to be good to you. Merry Christmas. And he proceeded to give away all the gifts that he just received. It's such a beautiful picture of generosity, of caring for others, and of being willing to give back to those who give to you, even though you don't have much at all to give. Someone has said that Christmas is the season of re-gifting. Every Christmas, we're enwrapped the same package. The story of Mary and Joseph and the baby in the manger. And we're reminded once again of that gift that God has given us. Because God is the true gift giver and actually re-giver of gifts. He continually gives them to us. And there's no greater gift than the baby in the manger. That child came with the express purpose of repairing our broken relationship with God. That's why he came. And the good news that we celebrate here tonight is that Jesus Christ is God's Son who became a man. And he lived the life that we couldn't live. And he died the death that we should have died in our place. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead, guaranteeing and assuring us that he is, in fact, God's Son, and assuring us that his offer of salvation and forgiveness is valid. Everyone, he says, who repents and believes in me will have forgiveness, will have salvation. When Teresa and I first got married many years ago now, we had this discussion, I'll say, of clashing traditions. I grew up in a household that we opened our Christmas gifts on Christmas morning. I mean, you have to do that, right? Santa comes on Christmas Eve, so it has to be Christmas morning. But her family had the tradition that they opened all their gifts on Christmas Eve. So as we're having this discussion and we're back and forth, she said, that's fine, go ahead. You can open yours on Christmas morning, but I'm going to do mine tonight. We've kind of worked that out over the years. But regardless, all of us, you know, we're going to open those gifts sometime, right? And so I just urge you to think about that. What good is a gift someone offers to you if you don't accept it from them and open it and use it? And how tragic it would be if God were to offer this gift, which he has done, to you, and for whatever reason, you just never really opened it. And so tonight, as we push pause for this brief time and all the frantic rush, I urge you to think about that and ask yourself that question. Have I ever really received the gift that God has intended to give me through Jesus Christ? By trusting in him, believing in him, turning away from my independence and saying, God, I want you to come and be in charge of my life and forgive me for the things I've done. That's really what Christmas is about. And tonight, as we celebrate, that's what the celebration is. It's not just a baby in a manger. It's a Savior on a cross who went into a tomb and came out of that tomb and has risen. And one day he's going to come back. One day he's going to come back.